I'm Frank Vaughn. It is February 19th, 2025, and why is the entire political class in Canada united around continuing a war that is a megadeth? Millions dead, cities in ruin, and not a single voice for peace in Canada. Donald Trump and the Americans are the only people talking about ending the war. Not even the Europeans seem interested in avoiding World War III and stopping this disaster from unfolding. And nobody seems to want to let you listen to the president unfiltered. We're going to do that now.
Well, much more confident. They were very good. Russia wants to do something. They want to stop the savage barbarianism. I mean, what's going on over there? It's soldiers are being killed by the thousands on a weekly basis. It's ridiculous. And they're not American soldiers. They're Russian soldiers, and they're Ukrainian soldiers largely, although a lot of Koreans have been killed, as you know. Quite a bit of them have been killed. They came over to fight, and a large portion have been wiped out. But we want to end it. It's a senseless war. It should have never happened, would have never happened if I was president. And it's a shame to see it. And I see pictures that you don't see, but I see pictures of fields that look just horrible. It looks like Gettysburg. If you see the old pictures of Gettysburg, it's soldiers lying all over the field, body parts all over the field. They're all dead. And this is going on a daily basis. It's a horrible thing. Both Russia and Ukraine, they're losing thousands and thousands of soldiers. And a lot of people have been killed, too. I think that's one of the things that you'll see historically and you'll see later on as it goes along. I think people are going to be surprised at how many people, not only soldiers, have been killed in Ukraine. If we have a peace deal, I think having troops over there from the standpoint of Europe, we won't have to put any over there because, you know, we're very far away. And I'm very disappointed. I hear that, you know, they're upset about not having a seat. Well, they've had a seat for 3 years and a long time before that. This could have been settled very easily. Just a half-baked negotiator could have settled this years ago. Without the loss of much land, very little land, without the loss of any lives, and without the loss of cities that are just laying on their sides. You have those magnificent golden domes that are shattered, will never be replaced. You can't replace them. 1,000-year-old domes that are so beautiful, you can't replace that. A whole civilization has changed because of what. So when they're worried about not being seated, you mean somebody that should have gone in and made a deal a long time ago.
The main thing that you need to get out of watching that clip is that Trump is the only one telling the whole truth about the war in Ukraine and talking about the tragedy of the human toll. You'll see Canadian politicians, left, right, and center, united in their message about the injustice of war, but they will never tell you about the corpses that are in their hands, the blood that is on their hands, because this war was avoidable. The other two things that you need to understand is America says they're not going to put troops in Ukraine. That's a good. If Europe wants to risk fighting the Russians, they should do it on their own. Ukraine is on the other side of the planet from us. Why are we bearing the cost of a war that shouldn't have happened? A war that the West perpetrated. Another thing that Trump highlights that no one else is ever going to highlight is the cultural destruction of Eastern Ukraine. Cities leveled, history destroyed, people removed. And the fact of the matter is, much of what I'm talking about began long before the Russian invasion. And we're going to get into that. But first, I want you to understand the West torpedoed peace after the war began. You may remember the Russians had surrounded Kiev. They had made huge gains in the north, huge salience, the lightning-fast speed of their offensive. Peace was on the table. Zelensky was ready to sign, but Boris Johnson flew into Kiev, and he convinced Zelensky after the Russians pulled back their forces in preparation for that peace deal, Boris Johnson and the West insisted that peace was not an option. And so the war continued, and it is a matter of historic fact. But who is telling you about this in Canada, among your politicians, and among those in the influencer class who are just trying to get their team to win an election and sacrificing truth while they go about it? Prior to the invasion of the Russians in 2022, there was ethnic cleansing and cultural cleansing going on in Ukraine aplenty. But your mainstream media, even though they covered it, they didn't put it front and center for the public to digest. They couldn't care that the government in Kiev, illegally constituted through the coup in 2014, was shelling cities and killing civilians, was rendering illegal the Russian language, was attacking the Russian Orthodox Church, and in effect was trying to erase the Russian identity of half the country. That's a matter of history. Anybody that tells you otherwise is lying or deliberately misleading you because it's bad for their chosen political team. We had the Minsk agreements, which were an attempt to stop the fighting. 8 years before the Russian invasion, they were signed, and before the ink was dry, Ukraine was breaking those agreements. This was just another piece of the Western machination to keep the conflict going as a proxy against Russia. And all the while, the Ukrainian civilian was stuck in the middle, suffering all the death, and nobody cared. Western media, almost all Western politicians outside the Trump administration, and your influencer class expect you to have a great big black hole where your reason should be, where your historical perspective should be. On screen is a meme, Western media before February 2022, which is talking about Nazism in Ukraine, which was massive. And the funny thing is, I have a great big folder in my European section of my browser to deal with Ukraine. And so many of the articles that I had there talking about this in preparation for this video, which has gone on for years, have been memory holed, completely wiped out. But some remain. This is from July 21st, 2016. You don't exist. Arbitrary detentions, enforced disappearances, and torture in eastern Ukraine. The ethnic cleansing that I was talking about. This from The Nation. Neo-Nazis in the far right are on the march in Ukraine. This from October 14th, 2017. This was a subject that was covered at the time, but it was never splashed on the front page of CNN. It was never splashed on your TV. They didn't do any in-depth reporting. Good influencers, good alternative content creators, good newscasters were making documentaries about it. I know that I was talking about it in my work, but nobody seemed to care because they weren't told to care. This has been erased from your minds. The people that you're supporting in Ukraine, the government that you're supporting in Ukraine, was put in power by a coup, and that coup's strength rested on neo-Nazism. And I find it really ironic because the existence of the Ukrainian state is almost entirely dependent on Bolshevism. It's an interesting thing. There wouldn't be a Ukrainian state. One of the defining features, actually, of Ukraine and Canada is that the primary national identity, if either place has a national identity, is that they are not something else. Maybe the only remaining core feature of Canadian identity is that we are not American. I don't know how a nation can be united around the principle of not being something else. And the Ukrainian identity, manufactured in Kiev, post-coup, because the people who were installed into power are trying to create Ukrainian nationalism. But Ukraine was settled by Slavs. The word Ukraine in Slavic means frontier place. Frontier of what? Slavic civilization. They speak a common language with the Russians. They share a common culture. The government in Kiev, which was installed post-coup, which has stayed on long past its election mandate has expired, has been trying to erase the Russian aspect of their culture and replace it with something else. And they're not just doing it at their own behest. They're doing it for Western purposes because the West loves having a useful tool to tie the Russians down on their border. The Ukraine war is a product of Western imperialism. That's the truth. Warfare should seldom be divided into good and evil camps if you want to stop that warfare. It should be divided into interests. Underlying any war in a conflict is two sides that are willing to send their young men to die in pursuit of those interests. In the Vietnam War, we failed to understand what the Vietnamese people were fighting for. They were fighting for independence. We, in the West, mainly in the United States, viewed it as an extension of the Cold War. They thought they were fighting the Soviets. They thought they were fighting China. It turns out that the Vietnamese were fighting for themselves, so they were willing to take help from the Soviets. They were willing to take help from China. But when they finally defeated the American army, they turned right around and started fighting the Chinese because they were going to fight and die until they were free. If we had understood that, millions of lives could have been saved. We're in a similar situation here in Ukraine. The ethnic cleansing that we're all ignoring that happened prior to 2022 is the foundational principle of the entire war. And look at what we've created. I'm going to read a list before I show you a smattering of articles supporting the list. The elections have been canceled. Zelensky is now dictator. He has a 16% support ratio. He's got a higher approval rating, slightly higher, but it is tanking because Ukraine can't win the war. People are sick of freezing and starving and dying and watching their children die. 16% of the Ukrainian people have signaled that they would vote for him in re-election. That's why the elections have been canceled. It was Zelensky who signed a decree that said peace negotiations were off the table in perpetuity after failing to abide by Minsk, after failing to deliver on the peace treaty that he was ready to sign before Boris Johnson's visit. This is history. This is how you understand. They have martial law. The government runs everything. They have this app called DIA. I think I'm pronouncing that right. D-I-I-A. It tracks the movements of every single Ukrainian citizen in perpetuity. The men are not allowed to fly out of the country for any reason because the government may need to tap them to go and die in the killing fields of eastern Ukraine. All opposition parties have been banned under the pretext that they're Russian. But being Russian under the definition of the Ukrainian government is anybody that disagrees with the Ukrainian government. The media has been consolidated in the government's hands, so only approved messaging gets through to the people. And it's not working with that 16% willing to vote for Zelensky again. It's not working, but they're doing it anyway. The internet is heavily controlled. There is censorship everywhere. And it's not just that you can't say that and it gets deleted. It's that if you say the wrong thing, you're going to be detained without trial. There is indefinite detention is a theme of life in Ukraine. It's not just the vans driving around, rounding up the young kids and sending them off to war to die. It is jail, sentence, censorship. Jail for collaboration, which is a vague as hell definition. Collaboration is anything the Ukrainian government deems counter to their interests. You have forced conscription. You have church raids. Part of the erasure of the culture is erasing the Russian Orthodox Church as if it isn't fundamental and foundational to Ukrainian history. Labor rights have been thrown out and suspended. So if the Ukrainian government needs you to do something they deem critical for the war effort, you have no choice. You can be involuntarily detained. You can be beat and shot because these things were happening before the war. Eastern Ukraine was replete with these things before the war, before you were told to care. Human rights are suspended. You don't have any in Ukraine. This is what we're supporting. Now, just so you know that I'm serious, let's go through. With support dwindling, Trump in power, Zelensky could face tough re-election. If you scroll down through the article, buried in the bottom, because the whole article is about how he enjoys 50% approval. But if you scroll down and you actually read, which they know most people won't do, 16% are those who would actually vote for him again. War and popularity keeps Zelensky in power despite term expiring. So it's actually not... It's not popularity that keeps him in power. It's the suspension of elections. This is propaganda. That's why it's here. This is how the West deceives you. Ukraine. New law raises religious freedom concerns, legitimate security concerns, not a green light to infringe on rights. As you've already seen, all rights have been suspended for the Ukrainian people. This is the government that all your politicians in Canada and all the politicians in Europe, save Donald Trump, support unconditionally. They don't mind people being rounded up and killed en masse in a war that should have been over years ago. Remember what Trump said about how offensive it was to him that Ukraine is complaining about not having a seat at the table. They've had a seat the entire time for this 3 years, and they haven't done it. They haven't done it because the West wants war. They want escalation. They wanted World War III. They were willing to risk it to stop Donald Trump from getting elected. Just the truth. Ukraine, events of 2018, if you read any of these articles, the point I'm trying to make is the civil rights abuses, the human rights abuses, the torture, the maiming, the detention, the killing was happening long before the Russian invasions. The Russians invaded because they felt they had to. Negotiation hadn't solved anything. The suffering of Russian-speaking cultural members was too much, so they went in. It's not to say that Putin's perfect. It's not to say that the Russian war effort is not committing its own human rights violations. You're only hearing one side. And as long as you're only hearing one side, we are getting further and further from a solution. And it's these young lives, it's the civilians who are paying the price. And no one wants to talk about it. Zelensky signs law banning pro-Russian political parties. This is just an example of the propaganda. They're not necessarily pro-Russian. They just disagree with the Ukrainian state. Ukraine's democracy dies in darkness. This from the New Yorker. With elections postponed and no end to the war with Russia in sight, Volodymyr Zelensky and his political allies are becoming like the officials they once promised to root out. Entrenched totalitarianism. They are closest to national socialism that we've been since Adolf Hitler died in 45. The Ukrainian government is a national socialist movement, and we support them hypocritically. We bring them over to Canada. They're so-called war heroes, and we applaud Nazis in our parliament. We did that. And then we turned a blind eye to the fact that we've done it, just like we turn a blind eye to the millions of people who have been dead. The ethnic cleansing that went on, the cultural cleansing that went on. Everybody just talks around it. Like, are we that lacking in courage that we can't even just talk about facts and reality? Like, why do people play this team sports stuff? It holds us back. Ukraine sure doesn't look like a democracy anymore. From 2023, in risky move, Ukraine president bans pro-Russian media. So again, this is Al Jazeera. Pro-Russian media means anybody, not just pro-Russian, anybody that disagrees with the Ukrainian state. I could go on, but do you see now? Do you see that you're supporting a killing, totalitarian, national socialist regime in Ukraine? Why is Trump and America in complete isolation in trying to end this war and end the killing? Why is Trump in complete isolation when he calls out Canada for our massive scale money laundering and drug problem? Why does the political class in Canada unite around a policy that will destroy you as Canadians in order to not deal with that corruption? Why is Trump and his administration, why is there a media blackout on the massive scale of corruption that they are uncovering at the heart of the federal government as they try to save America? Why are they in isolation? Ask yourself, what are your leaders up to? If this is the type of stuff that they will cover up, defame, and oppose, and not just oppose with their words, but sacrifice you as Canadians, sacrifice your livelihood, sacrifice your money, sacrifice your personal power, sacrifice your purchasing power in order to fight the Americans at all cost. Mark Carney promising to suspend the charter with Emergencies Act by the dozens in the name of climate change, fighting America, housing, you name it. He's going to do it, promising a socialist dictatorship. And you're not alarmed? You're not speaking out? You're not being made aware by your captured media? It's time for you to examine where your loyalties lie and either start telling the truth or be comfortable with the fact that you're actually abiding by evil. If you like the work, please like, share, subscribe. Thank you for all the support and people who share this out, because I just want to tell the truth. And if you care to, please consider donating, and thanks to those who choose to do so. I will see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.